32 million U.S. citizens had an allergy of some sort. And of those, of that total number, there's 5.6 million children that have that. So if you think about it, it's one in 13 kiddos. If you want to get a little bit more personal, that's also about like two kiddos in every classroom.
Welcome, Tara. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Wes?
You know what? It's been a heck of a week, but I am happy to be here with you to talk about a really interesting topic that I'm excited to chat with you on, because I know and understand that you are kind of the go-to expert in the allergen awareness field. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I know that you do a lot of work with the Peanut Council, the Peanut Board. I'd love to hear a little bit about that. And please feel free to share a little bit about your background and, some of the different amazing accomplishments that you've had in the world of allergens.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm a dietitian with over a decade of experience, specifically in school nutrition. So I've worked at the state level. So those of you that have had an audit recently, I have been that person that walks in the front door and you don't like seeing their face. but on that same, I know what that looks like. On the same realm, I've done training for the statewide side as well. And then I worked at several local school districts, being their dietitian, kind of helping managing the whole operation of school food service. So I've seen a lot of different things, and now I work with nonprofits and the industry side almost. So I've seen about every angle you can think of in terms of school nutrition. And with those experiences, I've also been able to see a ton of different size of schools. So we're talking about a 2,500 student enrollment all the way up to like 20,000. So a big range, a lot of different, cafeterias where they operate things. So that's always important to take into consideration, right, when we do an allergy management plan. So I enjoy it. I enjoy seeing schools and getting to know people and how they're handling these types of things and helping to accommodate their kiddos.
That's really awesome. And then you have a consulting company now, and do you assist school districts with developing that type of an allergy management plan?
Yes. So now I do have my own company, and I've seen just from when I was at a school district as a dietitian, that the amount of time that I spent helping our program run well and efficiently and effectively for our kiddos, especially those that have, a dietary need or accommodation to be made. There's just a lot to it. And so when I was thinking about what do I want to help people with the most, I thought this would be a good space, having been in that position. So I know how it feels to be overwhelmed. You're wanting to help these parents and these students, but also like, how do you juggle everything? So I do provide services of just like trainings, if a back to school training, like we're in the season right now, but I also do provide the service of coming in and just like taking that off of the service director's hands or minds, trying to help them focus on those big goals. They always have these big goals of helping more kiddos, reaching more students, in elevating their program. So I just want to come alongside them and help them reach the goals that they have.
Yeah. Speaking of goals, what are some, kind of things that you're working on, some maybe passion projects or some big goals that you have for this upcoming school year?
Yeah. So this upcoming school year is kind of packed with a lot of things. I think the first one comes from what you kind of mentioned earlier. I do work with the National Peanut Board, and the end of this year, early next year, we'll be revealing a brand new breakfast toolkit that involves the new final rules, as well as school breakfast champions across the country. So I have tons of new recipes and tips and tricks on how to engage those secondary students. So we're talking about middle and high school. And I'm sure, Wes, you've seen this too, but in my experience, there's just not a lot of free resources out there that target that demographic. It's kind of easier, if you will, to come up with graphic designs. I'm sure you're kind of familiar with that in terms of the little kiddos. But we're trying to reach those secondary kiddos where, breakfast starts to be uncool.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like everyone these days is like a Canva warrior. Everyone's on their, Canva trying to do their own graphic designs and create their own posters. But you're right. There's not really a centralized resource is easily accessible to a lot of folks. And it sounds like that's what you're really working on, kind of creating for school districts.
Yes, exactly. Like a turnkey toolkit. We've even done, like you said, talk about Canva. We've even created, we had a graphic designer like hand draw, you know, social media elements or images that you could add to your menu. They're really sweet looking. I'm excited about it. It has a nice 80, kind of like that neon sign that you have behind you feel. So
that's really cool. So where can districts go to find these resources that you guys are putting together?
Yeah, the website will become live, like I said, at the end of the school, the calendar year. You can sign up for it now at the National Peanut Board to like be on the first list, if you will. But if you go to the National Peanut Board, just Google it, and then you'll want to search for resources within the top section of their website, says schools, and it'll take you there to that section for the.
Okay, awesome. Well, we'll put a link to it in the bio for the show, and that way people can just click on it and jump right over there once it becomes live, or they can sign up, like you said, for you know, some you know, kind of reminders when it does become available.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
You know, I like asking this fun question before we dive into it, and obviously, I want to jump into, you know, talking about allergens. But so just a little backstory on me. When I was in college, the way that I kind of paid the bills when I was going to the University of Arizona studying business was that I actually DJed. Fun fact, not many people know that about me.
That is fun.
Yeah. So I am still a big movie, a big song buff. I listen to a lot of music, very eclectic taste. And I love to ask people, if you could pick a song to kind of summarize your life, your career, what would that song be for you? What's your theme song?
Yeah, and I've been thinking about that. It's hard to pick one. I don't know how people pick one, but so I've been thinking about it. And the first two that come to my mind, one's going to be kind of old school. I'm sure you would think of that. I don't see you like, you know, going and DJing this song, but would be It Is Well. It's a old hymn. That is one that's always been there. Like my, you know, very young as childhood. I have tons of good memories with that song, but it does seem like a lifestyle thing of just being content in the certain circumstances you have or are in. But the fun one that you will like more is, hopefully, I would love to hear your musicality thoughts on this song, is Mr. Blue Sky by ELO.
I
love that song. There's so many cool elements to it, but I also love it. There's just a lot of good memories of my husband and I, you know, being outside when it's nice, the windows down, and the song's about enjoying the day where you're at, you know? Those are the top two that I can focus on.
That's awesome. I love ELO. I mean, I was a big ELO. I was like one of those weird kids that like really loved like old classic rock when I was growing up. And ELO was like on the top of the list. Like I had that, their album on repeat. And it was like ELO and Rush and like all those like really good, like, you know, Led Zeppelin. Like, yeah.
Yes.
Those were my jams. But yes. I definitely approve of those music choices.
Thank you. Yeah. My husband loves all of that. So we're actually going to an ELO concert for his birthday this fall. So it's like their last tour. So we're really excited about that experience. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So
really
fact,
cool. Thanks for sharing that with me. I like I said, it's just a fun question. I think, kind of helps with, you know, letting people know a different side of you. And plus I love music. So I love hearing what people's kind of music choices are like these days. Since we're talking about allergens, I'd love to kind of kick things off today because, I think back and when I think of allergens, I look at, you know, my childhood and when I was going through the school system, and I just do not remember allergens being something that anyone really talked about. And if it was like a small group of people. It wasn't as prevalent as it is these days. And it just seems like there are so many people, kids specifically, coming into the school system with all of these different ranges of allergens. And it's not just like peanut allergies or, you know, allergies to soy or like, you know, the common ones. It's like people have got a lot of different allergies these days. And I'm curious, am I wrong in thinking that allergens have been a kind of this growing thing in, you know, the school districts?
No, you're not wrong. They are growing allergies. And not just like you said, like one or two different allergens. We're talking about one student with like all nine in their diet. Like they're having to find foods that have all 9 allergens. And just so we're all on the same page, the big 9 are dairy, egg, soy, sesame, fish, shellfish, tree nuts, peanuts. I said soy. I'm forgetting the last one. There's one more. that's bad. Wheat. I don't think I said wheat or gluten.
Wheat. Yeah.
So those are the top ones that FDA has identified as having, most people in our country having some kind of reaction to those 9. And that's why they're added on there. There's a ton of foods out there that do have allergy or an allergic response, but those are the biggest ones. And that's why they're kind of identified. And those are the allergens that, food service establishments kind of need to accommodate people for. And so I was kind of like digging through some data to kind of help in terms of like, is this a big deal? And, the most recent study that I have is from 2018. And, the important thing that we could talk about here in a second is that this study looked at, adult reported allergies. So that does make a big difference, right? So we're not talking about a doctor reporting them, but these are kind of like self-reported, allergens. And so in a little bit before 2018, they found that 32 million U.S. citizens had an allergy of some sort. And of those, of that total number, there's 5.6 million children that have that. So if you think about it, it's 1 in 13 kiddos. If you want to get a little bit more personal, that's also about like about two kiddos in every classroom. So that's a lot of students. And that's just from 2018. That's the most recent that they've done that. I've seen more and more that these research groups are also more interested in adult prevalence of allergens. It seems that, and I'm one of these people, it seems that more and more too, adults are getting this like onset of an allergy, and that's kind of unique and rare. And so they're really digging deep into that in terms of like new studies to keep an eye out for. That's kind of the prevalence of it. I see it too, just in the past, over the past 10 years, I've seen this grow in terms of complexity and really specific too. So I see more and more that kiddos may be able to consume an item that has egg baked into it, whereas they can't have a whole egg. So that's very unique, and it requires a food service establishment to be able to handle those unique and specific needs.
So when you say, adult onset to allergies, are you saying that people went through their childhood without, any like known allergies and then developed allergies as an adult?
Yes, I am one of those people. I'm part of the statistic. So my whole childhood, I was fine in terms of all of the foods that I mentioned about potential allergens. But like 2 years ago, I had a... there's different ways that you can be diagnosed as an allergy, having an allergy to a food. One is like a skin prick, where they do like a graft on your forearm and they prick it with all of the proteins from that food item, or a blood test. So they take your blood and then they do kind of the same thing with a protein, but it's just in a petri dish. So I had my blood taken and they found that I had I have a very sensitive reaction to gluten and wheat. So much so that I had to take like a celiac test to see if I was celiac, which I didn't have that right at all in my childhood, young adult life. Like, it's just kind of, it's new. It's interesting. Why?
Yeah.
It's
interesting because, in my immediate family, I don't have anyone that has any food allergies, but my wife, I will tell you, she is allergic to, I joke that she's allergic to the outdoors because it seems like everything, it throws her allergy reaction off. And I mean, if the wind kicks up, or if we go, like we went camping not long ago to take the kids out. And when we were in the woods, I mean, she could barely breathe. She was so stopped up. And she's had, the full panels where they like prick her back, like all these different times. Yeah. And I don't know enough about all of that. That's the closest that I've come to allergies. And so for a lot of people, I feel like if they don't have that immediate connection where either they themselves are one of those people that have an allergy or they have someone in their family that have allergies, they might not know how severe some of these allergies can really be for people. Talk to me a little bit about kind of, if someone does have an allergy to, say, peanuts, and that individual has a severe reaction, what are some of the potential consequences and what does that look like for someone?
Yeah. And these are big questions, especially for, you know, you have a food service establishment that has, this is their only business, right? It's a family business. It means a lot, all the way to like a school district that has all of these concerns that they have to take care of these children, which are legitimate. And, you know, we should be careful about it. So there are several different types of reactions. I'll start with the one you kind of mentioned. The most severe is called anaphylactic shock or anaphylaxis. You'll hear it different ways. But that is the most severe reaction that you could have. And that's where, if you've heard of an EpiPen or an epinephrine pen, that's where you need that, that kind of assistance to help these people, these students, out of the response. And so what happens, just generally, is with an allergy reaction or response. It's essentially your body, your immune system, noticing those proteins. So think of like the soy protein. Every item has this protein in it. I don't want to get too scientific and be boring, but your body notices this protein ingested in your body and it starts to attack it. So if you think about like poison ivy, you know, when you step on that poison ivy or your skin's next to it, you automatically see this like rash if you're allergic to it. And that's your body like immediately reacting, trying to fight against it, trying to protect your body from whatever this outside foreign enemy, if you will do to it. And so in an anaphylactic response, it goes so far as that the person having this experience, their airway will shut up. Like, so it'll close, so they can't breathe. They'll get a higher heartbeat, like a faster heartbeat. And, if epinephrine is not provided, the person could die. And we've seen that across the country in several different, unfortunate news stories. And so that's why it's really important for school districts to have access to EpiPens because of this reason. And why it should be more of a concern is that every person, every student's going to react differently. So some people, based on the allergy that they're allergic to, it may take a minute or two, right? So it's a little bit slower, but then you have some individuals where it could be seconds. Like it's seconds that it starts and you have very little time to kind of help this person overcome this response. And that's why it's so important. And there's a lot of liability there for someone that's trying to serve good meals, right? So that is the most extreme case. And that's the one that most people kind of focus on. But there are other ones, especially as students that are younger, they don't know how to use words yet. They don't understand what's going on. And so you will see rashes, upset stomach, you know, maybe hives around the mouth. It doesn't always have to be around the mouth, but those are just an example. Kind of like you said, sneezing or kind of a stuffy nose type of a thing. Those are all reactions. Once again, every person's different, so it's hard to nail it every time. But you'll see kiddos that have start having these reactions young. They'll come up and say like, my tummy doesn't feel good or my lips feel big and I can't feel them. Those are good signs that they're having a reaction to some kind of food that they just consumed.
Oh my goodness. I mean, this seems like such a... It just seems like such a severe and serious issue. And I talk to districts all the time, and it seems like a lot of these districts either aren't preparing for this or they don't even really have it on their radar. And I mean, to my understanding, there's also only one state at the moment, which is the state of Illinois, which has recently mandated formal allergen training for all food handlers in all industries across retail, food service, schools, and everything. And I guess the question that I have is, why are more people not talking about this? And why is this not being something that is promoted inside of our districts as being a serious thing that we need to train our folks on? And also, what would the training even look like? What are the steps for putting together kind of an allergy response plan for districts?
Yeah, those are great questions. And, you know, a lot of it, like, I don't want people to think that, you know, I think food service directors or the school nutrition professionals are negligent and they don't care about their kids, because they do. And I know they do. I've seen it in their faces, right? Like, so that's what we're not saying that they are negligent. I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, since COVID, we've had a very kind of fluctuating environment, right? Like labor shortages, product issues. And all of these wear down on one person, especially most school districts will have one person as the director. And so there's a lot of hats to juggle. You know, they're trying to manage staff. They're trying to put claims in. They're doing all of these other compliance needs. And so it just hasn't bubbled up to the top of the list, especially in those smaller communities where you know everyone, right? Like you right. just know them. So you kind of have that personal connection. And so I think that's a lot of it. Having spoken with a lot of school districts and food service directors, it's just something that they are concerned about, but they're not able to actually get their hands around it yet. They don't have the time or capacity to do it. And that's why I'm here, you know, right? It should be something because more and more I'm seeing more and more complex, like we talked about. Yeah. But in terms of training, really, we could talk about this in several levels. One part that I will say, and we can talk about in a second, is communication. Like that's the biggest thing here. It sounds really simple, but that is what makes this work in terms of a food allergy management plan. In terms of training, like a back to school training, talking about, you know, the big nine with your staff is a good start. That helps them to be aware of it and to kind of understand that. But I like to really focus on what if, you know, your main cafeteria manager that knows every student in the building, what if she or he gets sick or, you know, is not with us for a week, you know, for whatever reason that may be, who's going to know, who's going to be able to step up and make sure that these kiddos are fed safely and healthily. Right. So, that's what I always think about in terms of training, like, how do I stack the bench, if you will?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, one thing that just came to mind is, you know, I feel like some of these districts that maybe don't have students that they are aware of that have any known allergens at the moment. I feel like those are the districts that, you know, are you know, kind of putting this off because it's not something that's immediately yeah. relevant. There's more important things that they need to deal with. But it sounds like what you're mm-hmm. saying is, you know, take the steps now and make sure that you're prepared yes. for when it happens, as opposed to being reactionary to a problem. You know, let's respond to this, you know, issue that we have across the country and let's put the things in place so that we have the tools available to our team should something ever happen or should we need those tools.
Yeah, thank you for explicitly stating that. That's exactly what I'm saying. And really it's not so much too, if you can think about it in this way, from that example you gave, like we're kind of assuming that no one in the community really has, you know, a personal connection with someone with an allergy and that's in that, you know, experience, which is common. That can happen, right? But the more we can educate and once again, like communicate this out so parents know, like most of the time an allergy is started with a little person, right? They have the reaction for the very first time. And I've had to speak with a lot of parents that are like, I've never had a food allergy in my family. I don't know what to do. I'm yeah. waiting on the doctor and I don't even know how to shop. So I've had to do those like one-on-one counseling almost. Like, how do you get this family ready for this new lifestyle change? And so, yeah, education, awareness, communication is all important. And I think at school districts, we should be educating our community on what these food allergies are, at least, like at the minimum, just so that yeah. they know.
It's so interesting because, you know, you talk about communicating with like families and students and, you know, really helping them navigate, you know, something that's brand new to them. You know, as a father, I've got two boys, I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And, you know, the day that they're born is the most joyous day of your life. You've got this nice, bouncing, beautiful baby in your hands. You know, the doctors are checking in on you at the hospital. And then the time comes. It's usually like a day or two after the baby's born, you're still elated. And then they're like, here's the child and we'll see you whenever, or we won't see you ever again, but good luck. Like there's no manual for raising kids. There's no like, if this problem happens, go to this person. If this issue occurs, go here. There's not a step-by-step guide. And so for a lot of people, very fortunately, they don't have any major issues that they have to deal with. Like you mentioned like 1 in 13 students and things of that nature. So it's like, you know, when you're looking at that, like, yeah, sure, the majority of people don't have to deal with this. But for the folks that do have to deal with this being a very serious issue, you don't have a handbook to follow. So you're going to be just looking for resources. So having a school district that is properly trained on this information, has the resources available, is going to be that resource that so many families are going to be desperately searching out.
Yes, you're so right. And you can take it even a step further, right? Like most of these parents are trying to figure out a new menu schedule, what to buy from the grocery store. And if our schools can already be prepared and have those products, you know, not that they have to have them on stock on hand every time, but they know where to get them. And they know how to set that process up because we've already done it. They just have to, you know, kind of implement it. We are now able to feed these kids, you know, most of their meal for the day. So they don't have to worry. The parent doesn't have to worry about like, what if they have a reaction and I don't have the food for them? You know, that's a very basic level need that parents, right? They want to make sure they do that for their kids. So I think preparing for it helps you not just to solve the issue for the little one, the student, but also for the family. Yeah. And that's what this is about.
So if a school district, another question for you. So if a school district is, maybe they don't have a, you know, an allergy management plan in place, what would be your suggestion to a school district that say, that's listening to this saying, you know what, I want to put something in place. What's like a 1-2 punch kind of, you know, either resource or some steps that you would point a new district in to kind of create this, you know, allergy awareness plan or allergy management plan?
Yeah, for sure. So the top three websites that kind of come to mind in terms of free, right? So that would be a barrier potentially, would be CDC's. If you just Google CDC school allergy toolkit, you'll find that. Tons of resources there. FARE, F-A-R-E. That is more kind of focused on the community and parents and students, but that's also helpful. They have good fact sheets you can download and make sure your staff understand the basics of the big nine. And then also ICN, so Institute of Culinary, why am I blanking? I need more coffee. Child nutrition. Thank you. Yeah. they have SOPs ready that you can download and make, you know, edit and to make into your own plan. So they have, there's a lot of good things out there that you can use. The National Peanut Board honestly has some really good tips and tricks of how to communicate with administrators or teachers as well. So there's a lot of good resources out there. I would say to start there. And what I say a lot too when I'm training people about this is like, understand what research do you need and have, what do you not have in your toolkit, and what do you need to find out? So kind of like a needs assessment first, like understand what you're getting into and what your community or your school environment needs. And then from there, I'm sure people have heard me talk before. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, of course, start communicating. So we, you know, there's a lot of people that get their hands on the documentation that gives us information about what a student needs, right? And so we need to start opening those doors to the school nurse. Sometimes it's the school secretary or the front office individual, because they actually receive the documents from the family. It could be a social worker or a counselor, obviously school nutrition staff, obviously teachers, but understand how this kind of process works currently and who's missing from the table. So that's kind of the big two steps I would focus on.
Awesome. And then as far as communication, because you brought that up a couple of times now as, you know, being something extremely important, you know, we always talk about communication. I mean, I speak to school districts. I know you speak to school districts, and communication is usually one of those topics that a director of a school district is like, hey, you're going to come in, talk about effective communication. What does communication, though, look like when you're consulting with a school district? What are some suggestions that you make to the school district on how to effectively communicate to the parents and the students? Is it social media? Is it emails? Is it, you know, is it some type of a board meeting? What does that look like as far as effective communication when it comes to, you know, allergy awareness?
Yeah. So every school district is different. So that it's not a one size fits all, unfortunately. Yeah. I really focus on identifying who are the stakeholders that need to be at the table, and then trying to evaluate who isn't at the table that should be. And so the, based on the stakeholders involved, right, you have a lot of different communication terms or ways you can do this. Several school districts, you know, have some technology in place where they can like text message parents, which is a really good technology to use. But yeah, I would say to identify like what are those platforms that parents, students, other staff members utilize well? Is it email? I don't know. Everyone's a little different, and then communicate through there. But also in that process, you want to, I kind of identify like, especially for this documentation that's required by school districts for the food service side, like who's talking to these parents and who, what are they saying, right? We want to have a streamlined communication process. So a parent doesn't feel confused and they know from the beginning, like I do step A, B, and C, and this is how it happens. And my kid is accommodated. Like that's really what I'm wanting to focus on with these schools is having a consistent message. So parents aren't confused or, you know, something's brought out of the blue sky that they had no idea to that they needed to think about, and just be upfront with that. So, you know, transparency and just being open-minded. Like I said, a lot of the times these parents, this is the first time they're ever having to deal with it. So how do you listen to them? A lot of communication is listening. So how do you make them come in and feel heard, while also educating them about the process and how we can accommodate their student?
Yeah, absolutely. So in kind of, you know, as we kind of, you know, come to the closing of our time here, I'd love to know, are there any questions regarding allergens or allergen awareness that you wish more directors were asking? Or are there any questions that you wish people, when they bring you in to consult with them, would ask you?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think there's twofold. One's on the education side and one is on the process side or the communication side. In terms of education, I think more people should ask, like, how do I read a nutrition facts label and how do I utilize that, like, actually in my day? Like, what does that mean for me? Because that can help our school nutrition staff and also can help someone personally, you know, at the grocery store, right? So there's a lot of good that can come from that information that's right there. And then the other one in terms of process is like being like, what can I do to make this smoother, this process smoother? Who should I be thinking of? Those are the questions I wish people would really ask, because sometimes it's not like they're trying to forget someone. It's just there's more to the story than what we can see from our perspective. And if we're able to step back a bit and have a better idea of the holistic approach here, we can serve our kiddos better.
Absolutely. Well, Tara, thank you so much for having coming on the show and chatting about allergens and sharing some of your amazing wisdom on the topic. Is there any parting words of wisdom, advice, anything that you'd like to leave our listeners and viewers with today, you know, before we wrap things up?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, Wes. I've really appreciated the chat and the time. I would say, you know, I hear you, food service directors, school nutrition professionals. I've been there. I'm still in it with you, in the thick of it. And even if this is something you want to attain and you feel like you can't now, it is an attainable goal. And everyone has a different starting place, kind of like what we talked earlier, Wes. Like maybe just start with one easy step. Just identify one thing. Maybe that first step is going to one of the websites we mentioned and downloading the resources there and sending them to your staff. That's an easy one step. And I think that's a doable thing. So find out where you are in the current moment and be willing just to take one little step forward.
Well said. Well, we'll put all of those links in the bio so that people can easily get to them. We'll try and make it as easy as possible for them to take that first step.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for being on the show. I really appreciate it. It was a pleasure chatting with you, and we look forward to hopefully having you on again soon.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right.
Pleasure.
Take care.
Look forward to it. Bye.